every morning I would see my dad being very excited and happy to be going to his office. And I think that probably made a good impression of the whiskey industry on me as a young child. I understood probably from 5 or 6 that the whiskey business, the whiskey industry, was something that was positive, that was enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And that if, I imagine, consciously or subconsciously, I felt that if you work in the whiskey industry,
you're always happy.
You're always happy.
We are Miriam,
Martin,
and Manuel. We love Scotland, traveling and whiskey.
On our trips, we talk to the people to bring their stories to you and to share our love for the water of life.
This is Inside Whiskey, the Barrel Talk. Today, I am in Glasgow and I'm talking to Andrew Lang again. Andrew is one of the owners and founders of Ardnahoe Distillery and the independent bottler Hunter Lang. So Andrew, we have met before 5 years ago, because actually our very first episode of this podcast we recorded with you and your brother Scott, and there we mainly focused on Hunter Lang and independent bottling and talked about Ardnahoe just a little. So this time we want to talk more about Ardnahoe, because in 5 years many things changed. So welcome to the podcast again, and what would you say is the main thing that changed about Ardnahoe in the last 5 years?
Well, firstly, welcome back to Hunter Lang.
Thank you for having us again.
Nice to see you again in Glasgow. What has changed in the last 5 years? Obviously, we've developed Ardnahoe as a distillery. And last year, in 2024, we had the very special event of releasing the first bottling to the market, to the enthusiasts, which was really exciting, very rewarding. It was, of course, the whiskey was just 5 years old. We hadn't been sure when we would feel the whiskey was ready, but we were very confident we would not want to release anything until it was at least 5 years old. Mm-hmm. So 5 years of waiting for the whiskey to mature. But before that, there had been several years of planning and building, and even before that, years of dreaming about the project. So it felt very special to be launching the new bottling from the distillery, the first new distillery on Islay since Kilholman. Mm-hmm. And a wonderful event for the company and for our family. So that was the biggest milestone for us. And I'm pleased to say that the whiskey enthusiasts shared our appreciation, or shared our view that it was worth bottling and worth releasing and worthy of representing Islay as a new distillery from Islay.
And yeah, I was about to say that, because also we were looking forward to the inaugural release and have a bottle at home and really like it. Now, we will talk about the whiskey a little bit later, but of course the whiskey is the most important thing that happened in the 5 years. But looking back at the last few years since you opened Ardnahoe, what is the one thing, maybe the most unexpected thing, you learned about running a distillery?
Well, maybe not so unexpected, but the most the thing that came home to me and my brother and our father and especially our accountant is the cost of running a distillery.
Yeah.
It's a business. Whiskey making is a business that demands a lot of capital. And Ardnahoe is not a huge distillery, and it's obviously a modern distillery because it was completed in 2018. Mm-hmm. But there's a huge demand for maintenance and for just keeping the equipment in good order. And Ardnahoe is not not a huge distillery, but it's not a small distillery, not too small either. So it's there's a maintenance budget there, yeah, which is needed. And we're about to go into the silent season. Mm-hmm. In the summertime, usually that's when distilleries in Scotland will stop their production for a few weeks or even a month and take the mill apart and oil all the components of that and check that the mash tun's working. The boiler, of course, is an important part of the distillery. And then the stills themselves need to be checked, check that the copper thickness throughout the stills are correct. And we have worm tubs at the distillery, the only distillery at the moment on Islay with worm tubs. So there's a lot of checking that goes on in that month.
And
so,
even if you do that, still things keep breaking probably after that time.
Hopefully not breaking, but they wear out and they need replace, and seals need replace, and you need to get engineers. We have an excellent in-house engineer at the distillery, and he is a crucial member of the team. But of course, there are specialists who need to. You're an engineer, I think, so you understand probably better than me what needs to be done.
Not in a distillery, probably, but in general, I have some kind of imagination on things have to be taken care of.
Yes. So from a commercial point of view, that is probably the thing that has been the biggest kind of change in our business. This step from being bottlers and laying down whiskey to be matured for years or decades versus producing, basically running a factory. Mm-hmm. So that has been an interesting development.
Yeah, I believe so. And you mentioned it, and we also talked about it last time. Your family background is basically in the whiskey industry. So coming from this independent bottling topic, as a kid, seeing whiskey all around, did you always think, yeah, I'll be part of the family business at some point in time? Or did you think, I don't know, I want to become something completely different, like an astronaut, or I don't know?
No, I think I was influenced by seeing my dad going to work every day and being aware probably from quite a young age that not everybody who goes to work is excited when they get up in the morning and going to work. But every morning I would see my dad being very excited and happy to be going to his office. And I think that probably made a good impression of the whiskey industry on me as a young child. Of course, I didn't really know what whiskey was as a drink for many years, but I understood probably from 5 or 6 that the whiskey business, the whiskey industry, was something that was positive, that was enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And that if, I imagine, consciously or subconsciously, I felt that if you work in the whiskey industry,
you're always happy.
You're always happy, and you're always happy to be going to work. And I can say nearly 40 years later that that is more or less correct. And I have not come across many people in my career who have left the whiskey business. Mm-hmm. They might change from company to company, but within the industry, people tend to stay in the whiskey industry. Mm-hmm. And the people get on quite well in the whiskey industry. And there's a lot of excitement over the product, we're all interested, usually passionate about the product, about Scotch whiskey. And there's often, for many roles within the whiskey world, the scope and the opportunity to travel a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think the combination of the interest and the people and the international aspect, and of course the appeal of whiskey itself, and I think all of these combine to make it a very special industry to work in.
It's true. You have many components. You have the whiskey itself, you have the distillery, Ardnahoe, you have the bottling thing, you have the traveling, you have people coming, being super happy, being at the place where you're actually producing the whiskey. So looking at your job, and you're smiling right now, so I think you're like your father, probably very happy to do this. When you look at Ardnahoe and being in charge of all of this and being the owner and founder of the distillery, what are the most rewarding and what are the most challenging parts of the job?
The most rewarding, I would say it has to be a combination of watching the whiskey that we have conceived as a starting from a dream and an idea, and then the hard work to produce it, seeing it evolve in the casks as it ages up 5 years, 6 years later this year, we'll have even 7-year-old whiskey. That is quite special and quite exciting. And then, of course, presenting it to people who share our enthusiasm for Scotch whiskey and saying, here's this, like welcoming a new child, you know, here's the new Islay whiskey, the new Ardnahole. And we have had a fantastic last 12 or 14 months showing it to our customers and to their consumers, the drinkers around the world. And
I think your brother, he said he's in the US right now presenting it in the US, so it's really like globally.
Absolutely. He's in the US doing a tasting tour across Florida and then Nevada.
Horrible
and
job.
Texas, yes. And then just before the Islay Festival, we were both in Beijing together. There was the largest whiskey festival in China happening a few days before the Islay Festival. So we were there for that. And then the week before, I had been in Japan, which of course has a fantastic, deep, sophisticated whiskey culture, not just in making their own, but appreciating all kinds of whiskey, especially Scotch whiskey. So that was quite rewarding to be there and to present the whiskey there. In terms of challenging, I don't think there's anything that's uniquely challenging about what we do. It's every industry or every job has its own characteristics, and there are some things which we have to plan for. Maybe being on an island, mm-hmm. with the distillery being on the island is a little element of, you know, something we have to consider. But within that, from a logistical point of view. But on the other hand, I think the remote nature of Islay, the fact that it takes a little bit of planning to get there, adds some of the magic.
Yeah.
And it's undeniable in our opinion.
And also getting to Islay is the one thing, and then getting to Ardnahole is the next thing, because it's a bit of a drive.
Yes, for sure.
Depending on where you land with the ferry. But if you arrive in Port Ellen, then you do some sightseeing across the island until you arrive in Ardnahole.
Yes, absolutely. Usually I find that the ferry I take tends to come into Port Askeig, mm-hmm. which is quite close to us.
Yeah.
But then there is that winding road to Ardnahole. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you noticed, the road was...
It's much better. It has improved, right?
Much better.
I noticed.
We upgraded the road ourselves. Yeah. So from the main road, the main highway to the distillery, we upgraded it. So there are now no potholes and it's like smooth like a carpet.
It was not that narrow anymore, I felt. Because I noticed that the road is much better. I was on the shuttle bus and I was like, wow, the shuttle bus has space to the sides. Something is different.
The cars can almost pass each other now.
Yeah,
but still not quite. Still, we have we put in a few new passing places as well. So there are more passing places. It's beautifully smooth and makes getting to Arno even more of a
pleasure. You made it easier, but you keep it an adventure to get to the distillery.
It's still an adventure. We can never take away that that adventure of getting there.
No, you should not. And you said it before, traveling is a big part of your job. How often are you traveling to Islay?
To Islay, probably on average 4 or 5 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
So that maybe doesn't seem like very much, given that the head office of the company is based in Glasgow, mm-hmm. which is quite close. But we, as I say, my brother and I are usually on the road somewhere. And so we leave it to the team on the island to make the whiskey, and they do a fantastic job without too much oversight from us. Our distillery manager, David Livingston, mm-hmm. is a fantastically experienced and capable
He took over
distiller.
From Fraser last year, right? 2024,
he did.
I think. Yeah.
So he had been the assistant manager, mm-hmm. and he brings a wealth of experience to the job. And so we're very confident and very relaxed. And of course, when we go there, it's always a pleasure to see everyone.
I was about to ask, do you still enjoy going there?
Very
so
much.
You do.
Very much. Everything. And taking people and showing them the distillery, whether it's our friends who are usually whiskey enthusiasts or our customers, and the same would apply for them. Our distributors around the world love to come and visit us at Ardnahole.
And I mean, you have one of the most beautiful views on Isla. That has to be said as well. Like, when someone goes to Ardnahole, please make sure to take in the view from the stillhouse, because it does not get much more beautiful. Like, just over to the pubs of Jura on a nice day, it's one of the most beautiful views that I know on Isla.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. And the great thing about that view and being inside the stillhouse is that no matter what the weather is, the view is impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the clouds are so low and it's so rainy that you cannot even see the Paps of Jura across the sound, it's still a dramatic and very Scottish view.
I was about to say, it looks like everyone thinks Scotland would look like. So, but anyway, no matter the weather, I agree. So it's a beautiful part of the island. And now let's talk about Ardnahole Distillery. So Isla has got quite a few distilleries, also new ones popping up now. So in this landscape of the many distilleries, some have been there before you, some are now starting after you. So where would you see Ardnahole in this landscape of the distilleries?
Well, I think we have said from the beginning that what we were trying to produce was a traditional, or in our words, classic style of Isla whiskey. So that, I think, is what we've begun to achieve already. We are making a whisky that's medium to heavily peated.
Mm-hmm.
And the distillery itself is quite, although it's modern, it's quite traditional in its practices. And if you look at it from a distance, it seems to fit in very well to the Isla landscape, with the black and white walls, with the bold name script on the wall, and the pagoda roof. We had originally hoped to have floor maltings, which was why there's a pagoda roof there. And when we changed that plan halfway through the design, we felt, well, we have already designed this pagoda roof, let's keep it there.
Mm-hmm. At some point in time?
You never know. Maybe that would be a project for a future generation. But I would say that it fits in quite well into the Isla landscape and to the whiskey making scene on Isla. But we're still the new kid on the block, for sure. And there's some debate as to whether we are the 9th or the 10th distillery, because, of course, Port Ellen reopened
after
40 years of being closed after us. So there are some new ones coming, and that's quite exciting.
Yeah, two, I think, right? One across from the airport and the other one just outside of Port Ellen.
And maybe one more, because I think Chivas have announced that they would be opening one.
Okay.
Well. Yeah, so there are probably three more going to join.
Wow.
And then that would bring the total, by my count, to 13, I think.
Yes. I would also count 13 right now. But so, 5 years ago when we talked, and the distillery was built, but we asked you about, like, what are the troubles of building a distillery on Isla. Now, you said, like, okay, all of this being a remote island and you need the ferry to bring everything over and so on. So this is the same for the newer distilleries now. And also things are not getting easier, because you also need to get things from the mainland when you're running the distillery. Do notice that now, probably. So are there any things that are affecting you that are a bit difficult in terms of supply?
There have been a few problems over the past few years with the ferries getting to Isla. And of course, we are completely dependent on the ferries for almost everything that we need to make the whiskey. So yes, I would say the ferries have... It's quite well publicized that the ferries have not been as reliable as we would hope.
Yeah.
But the good news is that we're very shortly going to get a new ferry, a brand new one, serving Isla. And then I think another one a few months later, so that we will have two brand new ferries.
Okay, because right now it's the small Isle of Arran ferry running, right?
Yes.
It's tiny.
Yes, there's two. There's the Finlaggan, which is the bigger one, which is a nice ship, And then the other one, which was used on the Isla route, that has now retired because mm-hmm. it was too old. And so they replace it,
By the small one.
Other ones from other places, other islands. So we will be very happy to get the new one when it comes in, a few months, quite soon.
I thought it would be this year. So
I'm pretty confident it will be this year. And it's bigger as well. So that should alleviate a lot of the problems. I don't see any other real logistical problems.
Yeah,
once that's solved.
So that's the one thing I wanted to ask about in terms of difficulties, but also on a much larger scale, like looking at the economic situation, do you realize there's maybe less money people spend on whiskey or less people coming to the distilleries, or do you think, or to Ardnahoe specifically, or don't you feel any impact of this?
I think that in terms of people coming to the distillery, no, the visitors have held up quite well. There's a lot of interest, and especially in the last 12 months, as we have had our own whiskey on sale in the shop, that has actually, I think, increased the number of mm-hmm. visitors. And you, I think, have been at our last two Isla Festival days mm-hmm. Recently, last week, and a year ago. And it was pretty obvious to us that there were a lot more people attending the Ardnahoe Open Day this year compared with last year, which was already quite well attended.
Yeah, but I felt also last year there were quite a lot of people, because, I mean, it's also difficult for the people who visit to decide where to go, right? Because you have the same day as Beaumont, and then, I mean, people might be there and there, half a day there, half a day there. But still, this is, of course, the case. Then people have to think like, okay, what am I doing? How do I organize this? But I feel you had quite a lot of visitors. I've seen emptier phage days, mm-hmm. to be fair,
yep.
this year.
So no, we were very happy with how many people made the trip yep. up to the north of the island to see us.
Still, you had a cafe that closed last year, I think, end of last year. So why? How did that come?
So we have a coffee bar and a whiskey bar in the distillery. And previously, for a few years, it was also operating as a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the numbers of visitors were not sufficient to support a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And it's very expensive to run a restaurant. And I think we began to operate as a restaurant with the best intentions and with the best will. And then we realized that it was not the best fit for what we were doing. And at the end of the day, we're a whiskey company and we needed to focus on being a whiskey company.
Yeah.
So there, you can still get a coffee there when you visit, and even a scone or some other kind of cake, and a fantastic range of single malt whiskies.
Which is great. And also that you have this large area where people can just sit and relax and have the whiskey or coffee or whatever they want, usually whiskey, is really nice, because you feel very much like in a living room, mm-hmm. a very big living room, to be honest, but it's comfy.
No, it's a fantastic place to sit and have a dram. And if the weather is, I don't want to say bad, but if it's cold
Scottish.
And raining and typically Scottish, then you can sit inside and the windows have a fantastic view across the Sound of Islay to Jura. Or if it's a nice sunny day, like we had last Wednesday for our fish open day, you can sit on the balcony, and the balcony has room for, I think, about 15 people to sit and enjoy a dram. And it really is the most incredible, perfect place to drink a glass of Ardnahoe single malt at the distillery. The draft is being is kept in a trailer just next to the balcony, so you get the smell of the draft from the mash tun. You get the sounds of the distillery. You can hear the mill sometimes underneath your feet from
and the
where
sea.
You're sitting. The sea is there. You hear the seagulls. It's really a special place.
I think this is where Ardnahoe belongs, because this is where it comes from. So
yes. This
is probably the best place to enjoy a dram of Ardnahoe.
Absolutely. So I would encourage anyone to come and visit.
Oh yeah, I would recommend to anyone as well. Now, Isla, we already said it a few times. It's like, it's not necessarily a small island, but it is not very, there's not many people living there. So these islands usually have a very tight community. So how do you fit in with the Isla community as a distillery?
We're completely embedded in the community. Of course, everyone who works there is at least living on Islay. Many are officially Eilleachs, having been born there. And yes, whenever there is an opportunity to do something with the community, we'll take that and we host. For example, was of course we had the open day, but at the towards the end of the year before Christmas, there's a winter fair that we host, and we invite local businesses to come and sell there. It's kind of like another open day, mm-hmm. but more based on local businesses supporting other local businesses.
Oh, that's quite nice. So like their crafts or whatever they produce, they can just sell and
exactly.
offer there.
And that's a fantastic day. That's very well attended, and it's just a really nice event. And yeah, the economy of Islay is very interconnected. The fairly big parts of the economy there are whiskey. Obviously, there's agriculture, there's whiskey, and then there's tourism.
Mm-hmm.
So the whiskey and the tourism particularly support each other, because people are coming to visit the island, stay in the hotels and the bed and breakfasts. And then hopefully they'll, if they're not already drinking Islay whiskey, they'll fall in love with it or at least try it. And then the people who are coming, who are already whiskey lovers, will come to the island for the whiskey, and then they'll stay in the hotels and then fall in love with the island.
Yeah.
So it's really, it works well together.
Benefiting and from each other, kind of.
So, yes, and we're glad to support, you know, as many local guest houses and restaurants and hotels as we can. And it works very well together.
That's quite nice. Now, let's focus on the process of making whiskey. So where does the process start? So where does the barley come from? Where does the water come from?
Well, the water, which is something you need in abundance to make good whiskey, comes from Loch Ardnahoe. So Loch Ardnahoe, which you'll have seen, is a stone's throw from the distillery itself.
Yeah.
And we believe is the deepest loch on the whole island. Has a abundance of the kind of very cold, in particular, water that we need to make the whiskey. And then the malt, most of the malted barley that we get is supplied by our friends at Diageo,
mm-hmm.
From Port Ellen Maltings.
From the malting stone in Port Ellen, yeah.
And we think that's very important, and we are very fortunate and grateful to be able to source the barley from there, because the peat used by Port Ellen Maltings is cut on Islay. It's possible to buy peated malt, peated barley from maltsters on the mainland, but in that case, the peat will have been cut on the mainland. And if there is such a thing as terroir, to use that wine industry term, in Scotch whiskey, and I think there is, I think a huge part of that for a peated whiskey must be where the peat has been cut. And people who drink peated whiskey and understand it will recognise the difference between Islay peat and peat from the mainland. The Islay peat has a more medicinal, more oily nature to it, whereas the Highland peat possibly is more that kind of heathery, slightly drier style, which is also very nice. But for an Islay style, we want the peat to have been cut on Islay.
Also, the peat is basically the history of the island. It's exactly what happened on the island. It's just
hundreds of years
into peat.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the worm tubs before. Why did you select worm tubs? Why did you say, like, we want worm tubs?
When we set out at the beginning of the Ardnahoe project, we wanted to give every chance to the spirit. We felt that if there was anything we could do when we were building or designing the distillery that would help with the flavour, would help with the quality, then we would do it, no matter how inconvenient or how expensive it was. And that was why we said, okay, there is an argument that worm tubs can make some beneficial impact on the spirit. So let's, as we say, let's bite the bullet and install worm tubs. And of course, we can never say what the whiskey would have been like if we had used shell and tube condensers. But where we have gotten using worm tubs, we're very happy with it. Our team at the distillery are very adept at using them, operating the distillery in its current configuration. And so we feel it certainly was not a wrong decision, and we're very happy with it.
Yeah, I feel like warm tubs very often make a whiskey more voluminous. I don't know why, but it's just my opinion. Now, the whiskey is ready, and you said it was the best thing that happened in the last 5 years, finally bringing out that whiskey. And before we talk about the releases that you have now, let's quickly jump back to the Islay Festival. Just for those who were listening and thinking like, oh, the Islay Festival. So what can they expect? Because I'll just tell you a little story of last year's festival. So I was there in the big masterclass, and suddenly, I don't know, people were like whispering and saying like, oh no, something is going on, something. And I was like, okay, something must be going on. But clearly I did not understand. And then there was a Scary War coming to the stage. And for those of you who do not know Scary War, it is a very popular Scottish folk rock band, and suddenly they were there and on stage for the masterclass, and it was such a surprise, and I really enjoyed it. So Ardnahoe seems to be good for a surprise, and apart from my experience now, I'm about to ask, what can people expect when coming to the festival? And then we're talking about the collaboration with Scary War a little bit more.
So the festival has been going now for, I should know this, I think it's at least 30 years.
Oh, I think it's 40 years next
there
year.
We go.
I think it's an anniversary next year.
So it was originally mostly a music festival, I think was the original conception of it, which is why we lean in heavily to the music side, honouring the origins of it. So what is the festival in 2025 or 2026? It's a celebration of Islay in general. A celebration of the whiskey, undoubtedly. Most people would be forgiven for thinking it's really a whiskey festival, but it's a festival of whiskey where each of the distilleries will put on their best face, release a special bottling usually, and then have an open day where there will be events, special tastings, special tours with the manager or with the operators. Maybe where the distilleries will have a bar showcasing some of their past rare or famous or interesting bottlings. And of course the music is a big part of that, so there's live music at each of the distilleries on their open day, and people travel from all around Scotland, from around the world, to visit Islay during the festival week. And it's a fantastic time to visit, but you have to plan ahead even more than normal, because there is probably a lot more demand for accommodation than there is.
Also ferries.
The ferries as well. I think you can walk onto the ferry. You can buy a ticket as a foot passenger without booking in advance. But if you want to take a car or a camper van or something, you really need to book months and months ahead. And so that's the Islay Festival, and we have been participating for a number of years. Before we had the Ardnahoe mature whiskey to offer, we were bottling some rarities, some of the best examples of Islay whiskey that we had in our warehouses from the other distilleries, independent bottlings of Killila and Bunahavan, Laphroaig, Ardbeg,
the neighbours,
Port Ellen. Yes, the kinship on the label, referring to the friendship between the distilleries, the collaboration, and this feeling of everybody being on the same team, on the team of Islay Whiskey. And we released this set of six bottlings each year for, I think it was 6 or 7 years, until we last year brought that series to an end and revealed the first ever Ardnahoe Féisíle edition. And that was another momentous time for us. And then this year, we bottled the first 6-year-old Ardnahoe for the Islay Festival. And I think you may have tried it.
No, because I was driving.
Oh, well, I'll have to get a sample. and that was great. So we had nice weather. We had a great atmosphere, great whiskey, and then great visitors. So
yeah,
a real success last week for the Ardnahoe Open Day. And you mentioned our collaboration with Scary War. So Scary Roar are a great west of Scotland folk rock band.
From the tiny Isle of Tyree, right?
Yes.
Like, there's nothing on Tyree.
Yeah, difficult to find on a map, to be honest. But apparently they produce great musicians.
Apparently, yeah.
And so we share a lot in common with Scary Roar. We all like to celebrate the best of Scotland. We like their music. They like our whiskey. And so we said, let's work together. They like us travel the world promoting Scotland. And so when they're in the US or Canada or Australia, they're talking about Ardnahoe, and they pour Ardnahoe at some of their events. And it's been a great collaboration so far. And we hope it will last for a long time.
No, I love it. I like the music and I like the whiskey, and just being there and enjoying the music. Last year, really, in the masterclass, I was like sitting there and I was like, this is amazing.
Yes. So in the masterclass last year, as you said, it hadn't been announced that they were going to perform.
No, but I think many Scottish people knew the guys because they were sitting at a table and there were like people talking, and you knew something was going on. But I obviously did not know this was Scary Roar. I knew the music, but I did not know the guys. So I was like, I don't know, something is happening. But yeah, no, it was quite a nice surprise. But apart from the festival, when people come to visit Ardnahoe, just like outside of the festival on a normal day, so there's also tours, tastings. So what can they expect then?
So we offer, of course, tours throughout the distillery. We're quite compact. We're completely wheelchair accessible. The same tour is available to everyone. So it's really a pleasant distillery to visit. And of course, there's a full range of Ardnahoe to try. We've released now 6 or 7 different bottlings, including, if you include the 2 Islay Festival bottlings, and the special release that we did last year for the members of the Ardnahoe Society.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, for us, the stars of the show are the 2 core releases, the Infinite Loch and the Bolsa core Ardnahoe bottlings.
So tell me about them. So what is the difference between the 2?
So the
Infinite Loch was the inaugural one. Maybe we start with that one.
So the inaugural one was actually called the inaugural release.
Ah, yeah. And then the Infinite Loch was the first one after the inaugural one.
Correct. So the Infinite Loch was the first, our first attempt at a core expression showcasing the character of Ardnahoe, showing what we are trying to achieve with the Ardnahoe spirit. So it's a whiskey where the fruity characteristics of the spirit are clearly evident, and we want to show that off, or show these characteristics off, by bottling mainly in that case from bourbon casks. So it's about 80% of the whiskey in the Infinite Loch has been fully matured in bourbon barrels, and then around the remaining 20% is Oloroso sherry. Matured and then married prior to bottling, the fully sherry matured and the majority being fully bourbon matured. So that's got a beautiful pineapple kind of bakery kind of note in combination with the Islay peat smoke that comes through.
And I find it has a pinch of salt to it, to all the sweetness, like the fruity sweetness. It's like someone just put it like pinch of salt to it.
For sure, it's like the pinch of salt on a apple crumble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that fruitiness and the saltiness. Of course, there's a maritime edge to all of these Ardnahoe bottlings. And then the Bolsa is named after some local caves in the north of the island, and the Bolsa is much more on the sherry matured side. It's a deeper, kind of richer style with red fruits coming through, and kind of caramels, chocolatey notes, and again that Islay peat smoke there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's they work very well together. They're a nice representation of 2 different styles. They're both no age statement whiskies, but they are both minimum 5 years old, bottled at 50% alcohol, and no colouring and no chill filtration.
And you just mentioned it, so both of them have fruity flavours and this Islay peat smoke. So even though they're totally different, they have things in common. So how would you describe the Ardnahoe flavour profile overall for the bottlings?
So the Ardnahoe character is very fruit forward, quite sweet. There's a lot of apple, pineapple in the whiskey almost from day one from the new make. It's coming through. The peat smoke is very present and it's very much an Islay whiskey. You can recognize it as an Islay whiskey, but it's not where the peat is hitting you in the face. Mm-hmm. It's quite gentle, quite balanced. And I think anyone who likes Islay whiskey, they will, I hope, like Ardnahole. But also people who maybe think that they don't like Islay because it's too strong or too smoky for them. Mm-hmm. I think they will, if they want to ease themselves into it, try an Ardnahole. And people are quite surprised when we say that the malted barley used is 40 ppm. Mm-hmm. Because the smoke, as I said, is quite well integrated, quite soft. And it tends to come through more strongly on the finish than on the nose. So on the nose, it's usually a fruitier, sweeter. But yeah, it's bottled at 50% alcohol, the two-core expression. So the flavor is delivered quite nicely. Mm-hmm. And
you just mentioned you were playing around with the casks a little bit for these two-core expressions. So in general, predominantly, what is the cask type you use most? Bourbon, probably.
We're quite traditional in that most of what we use is simple bourbon, first fill bourbon, mm-hmm. or refill bourbon. But we do also fill a lot of Oloroso sherry casks.
Mm-hmm. Any wild experiments?
We have filled smaller numbers of more interesting experimental casks. But we're not really trying to reinvent the wheel. We're mm-hmm. just trying to make a classic Islay style as best we can. So we haven't gone crazy with tequila casks or Calvados or red, you know, table wine. Mm-hmm. We like the traditional sherry, Oloroso being what we think works very well with the style of whiskey we're producing. We do fill some PX casks, Pedro Jimenez sherry, which again, in a vatting, in a mixture of different types of cask, you know, balanced with bourbon or Oloroso sherry, some PX can add something quite helpful.
Mm-hmm. But it can also be very sweet and overpowering sometimes. So
for sure.
PX is...
You have to really...
Be careful.
Be careful, use it in moderation. Watch that the whiskey's not being kept in the cask for too long. But if you have had a chance to try the Society release last year, that was a combination of sherry and Oloroso sherry and PX sherry.
I was about to ask for that release, but before that, we need to talk about what is the Ardnahole Society.
Ah, okay. Do you want me to finish talking about the distillery? There's what you can expect on a visit. So we already mentioned the coffee bar, the whiskey bar, which is a wonderful place to spend an hour or two when you're on Islay. Not just Ardnahole whiskies, but the full range of Hunterling independent bottlings is there. So you can try even whiskies from the mainland, a full range of whiskies.
If you really don't like Islay whiskey.
if you've had enough of the peat smoke. And then we also offer warehouse tastings, which are very popular on Islay. Of course, with Ardnahole, we've got whiskey only up to 6 years old. But there are a few different interesting cask types that we've talked about. Bourbon, PX, Oloroso, different sizes of casks, which the different size of casks can have an impact on how the whiskey matures. So we've got a great team there. The tour guides are fantastic. And they'll give you, if you want, a warehouse tasting during your visit. The society, the Ardnahole Society, is really our way of connecting with as many fans of Islay whiskey as we can, and so it's free to join. If you go onto the ardnaholedistillery.com website, you can sign up to the society. It's free of charge to sign up, and we don't spam you too often with too many emails, but it's a good way to keep in touch. And we plan as time goes on to host events in different places which will be exclusive to society members. And each year we will have a special bottling, again, exclusive to society members. And that's something we're working on at the moment. In the tasting on our open day, we previewed what it might be like this year and bottled a cask strength because that's how we like to present it to real aficionados. And
you can still play with water then and water it down to whatever tastes best if cask strength is too strong. But
Exactly. And if you're a society member, you are entitled to a free tour when you get to Ardnahole as well. And of course, a dram. So yeah, sign up to that if you're interested.
I have already signed up.
Okay, good.
And about the bottling, you said it before, so it is Oloroso and PX casks, and that was the one last year.
That was the 2024.
And there will be one each year.
There will be one each year in limited numbers.
That's nice. So when we're talking about these bottlings, the prices that you're having on the bottlings are really, really fair. So talking about between, let's say, 55 and 85 pounds or something, how can you keep the prices that fair? I mean, we're super happy with it from a customer perspective.
Well, we're bottling whiskey for people to drink, mm-hmm. and we're quite proud of what we're producing, and we want to share it with people and to hear the feedback and to have people kind of adopt Ardnahole as one of their preferred brands of whiskey or one of their preferred distilleries. And so we need to make it as accessible as possible.
Yeah.
And we're on an island where there's a lot of fantastic whiskey produced, and some of it is available, yeah, even less than £55 a bottle. So there's a consideration in that sense. Ardnahole is bottled at a minimum of 50% alcohol, so there's a little bit more whiskey in the bottle, a little bit more duty, alcohol tax, mm-hmm. as well. But I think at £55, and we'll do our best to keep the Infinite Loch at £55. It's kind of accessible,
yeah.
as a kind of regular drinking.
And as I said, as a customer, this is really good for me. And I like the concept that you're saying we're making it for the people to try it and to drink it. And I think this is also a concept that is very well thought through for the future, to also build a community that enjoys the whiskey. And looking at the whiskey industry as a whole, so there are some newer distilleries as well that are already struggling, because we talked about the economic situation. It's not that easy anymore. So how do you see the whiskey industry or the future for the whiskey industry as a whole?
I'm very, very bright about the future of the industry. I'm very positive. I think you're absolutely correct. It's not the easiest time just now, not because people have lost their enthusiasm or their interest in whiskey, but because everyone's feeling the tougher times in their pocketbook. Interest rates have been higher than many years in the last couple of years. People's mortgages have gone up every month. Or maybe their rent's gone up and things just seem a bit more expensive. So maybe instead of drinking an 18-year-old whiskey, they might drink a 10-year-old or drink less frequently. So that's just something that we will have to wait for the economic situation to improve. But long term, I'm very confident industry will recover and even reach greater heights.
At Ardnahole, we'll have a huge fan base due to the approach of making it accessible and making it for people to drink it
we
and enjoy
so.
It.
We hope so.
And yeah, so Andrew, you already know we always end our podcast with a few quick questions. So here's the first one. What is the biggest lesson you've learned since opening Ardnahole?
That people can be quite open-minded about trying new and young whiskies. I've been very encouraged by that.
That's good. And what's a talent that you have that would surprise people?
A talent that I have? I'm completely at a loss. I can't think of anything. Maybe I'm too modest.
Then Miriam. That's your talent.
My talent for modesty. I've never heard that, but I'll take it.
And apart from Ardnahole, what's your favorite go-to whiskey if you're just sitting in front of the fireplace in the evening?
I would have to say it's maybe a bit predictable because a lot of people will cite it as one of their favourites, but Clynelish is a fantastic whisky. And it's one of the few that I'm more confident about being able to identify in a blind tasting. Mm-hmm. I would never say I'm super confident, but...
Modesty?
I think it's quite distinctive and really a fantastic Highland malt.
Yeah. True. So thank you very much, Andrew, for taking the time again to talk to me about Ardnahole and to be very open and transparent about everything that is going on and how things are for Ardnahoe. And if you guys want to get to know more about Ardnahoe Distillery, visit their website on ardnahoedistillery.com, follow them on social media at Ardnahoe Distillery, visit them on Isla, and don't forget to join the Ardnahoe Society. I am Miriam, and this was Inside Whiskey with Andrew Lang of Ardnahoe Distillery. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us on the Barrel Talk today. If you enjoyed this episode, tune in again next time for some more tales about the water of life. And in the meantime, follow us on Instagram at @inside_whiskey, on Facebook at @insidewhiskey, the Barrel Talk, or visit our website on insidewhiskey.de. This was Inside Whiskey, the Barrel Talk.